Often vulgar, always explicit, and sometimes funny.
Slap box. Slap box.
Welcome to the Slap Box Podcast. This is episode 675. I'm your host, Josh Albrecht, recording once again inside the Slapbox penthouse. My trusty sidekick, Agent Fox Mulder, is downstairs, I think. Or maybe he's just behind me. It's late on a Saturday. Well, late for me. I'm old. It's 7:14 p.m. That's late for me these days, especially since I've been most physically demanding work week of my entire life. It was a hot box. It was a furnace that I worked in this week. There was many days where it was over 100 degrees inside the plant where we were working. And yeah, that has taken its toll on me. I was working some 10-hour shifts in there and didn't volunteer for it. It was mandatory. We're just really busy right now. But... You know, yeah, I haven't been this tired recording a podcast in a long time, or just in general. You know, I'll be tired, but damn, I mean, I had a pound of Red Bull when I went and got some dinner earlier after doing a coat of paint on the hallway. I'm getting close. I think I only have like really one wall-ish that I need to go back over. It's the bigger wall that's left. That I needs hopefully just one more coat will fucking do it. I'm hoping. And then I got to take the tape down all in the hallway and then proceed to then touch everything up because I did a piss poor job of taping everything. Well, you know, Jackman had told me there was a way to use caulk, and when you put the caulk on the tape, you put the caulk all over the tape. There was a trick to do it to where you have perfect lines when taping for painting. Yeah, I didn't do that though. And needless to say, there's like, you know, like a white line everywhere in the tape. And there's a lot of areas where I'd pulled the tape up and it pulled some paint up. So hopefully once I finish that hallway, I can then go back over and touch up like the white lines that are all over downstairs. But I'm pretty excited to almost have that hallway done. I wanted to have it done this week, but man, working so much has just made it difficult to do anything outside of work. I painted pretty much every night this week. I think I did. Yeah, I think I did paint every fucking night this week. There might have been a day where I didn't. I painted or I did stuff to like prep for painting. Like taping and what have you. Or I don't put a drywall compound in some places. Patching, sanding, taping, painting. I'm so done with all of that. And yet, I will have to do that in this room here, in this bedroom here, in the upper deck, the second story of the penthouse. Anyway, what a week, what a week. Yeah, I mean, painting's been, it'll be so great to finish that whole way down there and get more of a completed look. And once I touch everything up, get the movie posters hung on the walls, and then just, you know, really complete that look, and then clean up my counters, get the painting supplies and shit out of the downstairs, put up the popcorn machine that I got. I may or may not have mentioned that I got a popcorn machine recently. I haven't tried it yet. It's sitting in plastic. But, again, I'm not a big popcorn guy. I got it more so for the aesthetic. And, you know, if I have a movie night where I have a couple people over, whatever, might be good to pop some popcorn in the old popcorn machine, which I hear they're a pain in the ass to clean, which is also another reason why I'll probably almost never use it. But I feel like once I get it done downstairs, I'm definitely going to have to do some kind of like screenings, like do some, you know, like, oh, I'm going to, it's Evil Dead night. You know, we pop in Evil Dead 1, 2, and Army of Darkness, maybe the reboot and the last one. I don't, what do you consider that? There's not really a reboot, but Ash versus the Evil Dead, that show's fantastic. Still one of the greatest openings to any shows, any TV show in the history of entertainment. I mean, you get Ash going to a bar at last call and then proceeds to talk to a lady at the bar and tell her about how exactly he had lost his hand, which, you know, if you're not familiar with Evil Dead, in Evil Dead 2, he kept his hand during the first one. But in the second Evil Dead, his hand had become possessed. I guess the Deadites had gotten to him or what have you. He lobbed it off with a chainsaw. It's been a while since I watched Evil Dead 2. Did he cut it off with a chainsaw? Or there was... Oh, you know what it was? I think there was a mechanical knife. It wasn't really like a... It wasn't the chainsaw I used to cut it off, but he puts the chainsaw in place of the hand, and that is the Ashley Williams that we all know and love today. But I digress. In the bar in Ash versus the Evil Dead, when he's hitting on the lady, he proceeds to tell the woman a lie about how he lost his hand, about how he went to save a boy that was in the way of a speeding locomotive, if I remember correctly. It's been a few years since I watched Ash versus the Evil Dead. But he would go on to tell the lady that, oh, you know, he saved the boy but lost his hand. And which I guess is more believable than a demon or deadite or the Necronomicon, if you will. Put an evil into your hand and you had to lob it off so it wouldn't corrupt your whole body. That would might be not so believable, and he probably wouldn't have fucked her right in the bathroom, which is, of course, the next part of that scene is like him just fucking the woman in the bathroom. And then, of course, she turns into a deadite, and so he's fucking a deadite. Again, one of the greatest openings to any TV show. Fuck, any greatest opening to anything. I mean, if that was a movie, it'd still be fucking amazing. That is Bruce Campbell in all of his fucking glory. I love that man. I'll have to watch some Evil Dead. I have not watched any Evil Dead yet on the projector. And that's another thing. This week, I've been, you know, fucking going with very little sleep. And I haven't really gotten a chance to watch anything on the projector much this week. So that's fucking depressing to have a movie theater set up downstairs and to not be able to use it. It's like, son of a bitch. This is not what I was, signed up for here. I was, I wanted to constantly watch it on the projector, but, hopefully, I finish that soon. I'm within the next week. Fuck. After I get done recording this, I'll of course clean the litter box and, brush Mr. Fox here, Agent Fox Mulder, and hopefully after that, I can put my final coat with the roller on that wall. And I'm hoping that will be done, because that's going to be like 4 or 5 coats of fucking red at that point on that wall. I put a lot of coats in that hallway. Lot of coats. That is getting... I feel like I've said I'm getting close to being done for like, because I've been working on this for several months now. I feel like I've been saying that pretty much the entire time. I think I'm just lying to myself. It could be another 10 years before this is done. It feels that way. It's driving me insane that this shit's not done yet. The Prince of Darkness himself, I recently talked about him, I guess on the last few podcasts as, two weeks ago-ish, that he had his last concert with Black Sabbath and solo. He did the solo stuff. And I thankfully, live streamed it, which there was a bit of a delay live, maybe, I think there was like an hour or two delay because it was in England. I feel like in England, though, there may not have been a delay. But so it was sort of live-ish. I was so glad to have watched the concert, though. There was a few parts where, it was like over 10 hours. I saw the Ozzy stuff, of course. I saw him with Zakk Wylde and doing his solo stuff. And then, of course, the Black Sabbath. And, the news came, what was it, Tuesday? I don't even know. I don't even remember what day. It had to be, like, Tuesday-ish. Or Tuesday, Wednesday. Fuck, I don't know what day. Tuesday or Wednesday, one of the two. Pick it. This article's on the 23rd, so that was like 3 days. It sounds like 3 days ago-ish. But, that one got me. I mean, it definitely... when I saw that you could live stream the last Sabbath concert, I was like, felt like this was definitely going to be the last one. I had mentioned, after watching the concert, like, I'm pretty sure this is the last one. But, they've been saying this last show, pretty much every fucking tour they've been doing for the last, like, 25 years in shows. I mean, Ozzy famously was it the No More Tears? He did a tour called No More Tours, where he decided he was going to retire, and pretty much immediately went back on tour. But he realized, like, fuck it, this is my life. This is I love this. This is what I do, and you got to respect that, right? He loved what he did. Had a penchant for biting animals' heads off. well, as far as I know, he only did that three times, or to three different animals. I mean, I cried during the final concert, because, I had seen a lot of stuff on Ozzy recently, and I knew that there was talk for quite some time, because Ozzy hadn't been able to tour for several years now because of the Parkinson's. I believe he had a few spinal surgeries. I think that shit really fucked him up. In interviews, he talked about he wished he had not done the surgery, which he's not the only person that I've heard that had spinal surgeries. He had multiple spinal surgeries due to a fall, I guess, in 2019. And there's the bodybuilder shit. The fucking yeah, baby. He says yeah, baby. He was the 7-time Mr. Olympian. I think it was 7 times. His name eludes me at the moment. There's a great Netflix documentary his name, God damn it. I should know his name. Anyway, he had, there we go. That's not his fucking name. Phil Heath. Does he have a, oh, eight times. All right. No. Ronnie Coleman. That's okay. That's the guy I'm thinking of. He won it 8 times. Ronnie Coleman. Yeah. That dude's a fucking beast. Like, he's had spinal surgeries and, can't fucking walk, but yet he's still fucking doing all his fucking bodybuilding still, even though he's just like basically a cripple. Like, fucking the documentary on him, I don't know the name of it, but Ronnie Coleman, yeah. Anyway, it makes me concerned. Thankfully, my back is one of the few things that has held up pretty well. I've had some issues with my legs, some injuries and shit, but that come back and haunt me from a lot, mainly from a lot of long distance running and trails. My body doesn't like running on trails. That's where some of the worst injuries have transpired. My main issues, yeah, are with the trails. But Ozzy was in really rough shape there at the end. And he was on, I believe, like pain medication from all of the stuff dealing with the spine, and that it was just destroying him. Which he had been dealing with Parkinson's. I guess he had been diagnosed with it for like 20 years ago, but didn't really talk about it until the last 5 years. He was on meds and stuff to deal with like the pain. And I saw an interview with him, I guess it was after he died, saying that he, before that last concert, which, you know, I already knew he was in bad health and figured he was going to pass soon. And it was, what, a year, 2 years ago? I don't remember when it was they announced, there, probably about a year ago, that they announced that there was going to be a final, like, Black Sabbath show. And I think they had initially rolled around the idea of doing 3 separate shows, but then, you know, I guess it boiled down to what they thought Ozzy could do. Because, you know, he was just in such rough shape, you know. That is a tall order to do a big concert like that for somebody in that state of health, you know? But yeah, he leading up to the show, though, he quit taking the painkillers. And because he said he wanted to be sharp. He wanted to be, you know, with it and to be able to, like, do as good of a job as he possibly could for the fans. He wanted, you know, I can only imagine what it must be like to have, you know, thousands of people cheering you on in a fucking crowd. And you know, he's somebody that had that for the majority of his 76 years. He was pretty young when Black Sabbath made it big. He was what, like early 20s, I guess, mid 20s. And then so for at least probably a good solid 50 years, you know, he was used to having these, you know, doing what he loved and then having this just wall of positivity, you know, come back at him with, you know, cheering him on. And it had to be quite the rush. And, I mean, he kept doing it until finally, you know, it got pretty rough there. You know, to where he just couldn't physically do it. And then did it one last time, man. It was a sight to be seen. I mean, of course, comparing it to old Black Sabbath. Yeah, I mean, they weren't. They're all in their 70s. I can't imagine any other 70-year-olds performing that fucking great of fucking metal songs, man. Come on. The fucking godfathers of metal. I mean, the original fucking lineup of Black Sabbath, which to me, that's the only Sabbath. That's the only true Sabbath to me. I never went down the Dio rabbit hole or anything that transpired after Dio when he came back briefly. The only real Devo song I really know that well is like Holy Diver, which wasn't a Black Sabbath song. It was just a Dio song. Yeah, and that's, you know, nothing against Dio. It's just like that's not my Sabbath. Sabbath to me is really those first like 4 to 6 albums or so. I think Ozzy did originally before he was kicked out, like what, 8 or 9 albums? I don't recall now off the top of my head. But Agent Fox Mulder's coming up here to say hi. You miss Ozzy too, buddy? Anyway, holy shit. I mean, just having that original lineup. And I thought Ozzy performed way better, like miles, you know, leaps and bounds above Axl Rose. But, you know, I've never been an Axl guy. He just always seems like a real big douche. And I think never really took his craft that seriously. Always just kind of a jackass. But, you know, Ozzy, you know, I never met him. I never actually went to a concert. Ozzy, I should have been at Ozfest. You know, I was young when Ozfest was going on, but, you know, I should have had different priorities then when Ozfest were going on. And it seemed like they were going to go on forever, honestly, at the time that they were going on. And, yeah, it sucks that I didn't actually ever go see Black Sabbath live. But, you know, I had the Black Sabbath shirt that, you know, my brother, of course, Shelley, there had gotten for me when Black Sabbath first got back together for the Ozfest, where it was the Last Supper, and they had the Last Supper with Ozzy and all the blokes, you know, Geezer. I think Bill was a part of that one. I think so. I know Tony and Geezer were there, but I know Bill Ward hadn't played up until this last show with them since for like fucking 20, 25 years, whatever it was. I think it might have been that Last Supper tour whenever Bill played with them last. But that's, oh man, fucking legends. But yeah, I had a rough time watching that concert. I mean, none of the other bands. I didn't cry until like Ozzy got out there and, you know, did the emotional speech of how much it meant to him to be able to be out there. And, you know, I mean, I know he was aware that he was knocking on heaven's door, I guess, as you'd say. But, yeah, just, man, just talking about it, it's just fucking crazy to think I live in a world that no longer has Ozzy Osbourne. Like, he is not walking amongst us anymore. But his music's always going to be a part of my DNA, you know? Oh, man, it hit me hard, though, when I found out the news that the Prince of Darkness had passed. And I thought, you know, maybe I should just go get a bat and bite its head off. But I didn't do that because I'm not up to date on my rabies shots. That and I figured it Fox here might get a little jealous of that. And one bat to eat some bat. And I don't want to give him just some fucking disease from sharing a bat with him, you know. But here he is. Oh, he's fucking with the mouse. He's he's like, man, bat does sound pretty tasty right now. Yeah, oh man, it was tough. The day that I found out that Ozzy passed, I found out at work and made a little joke to my boss. I didn't know that she would be into Ozzy, but I guess she I mean, how do you not love Ozzy? But Dustin, Jimmy Cro-Magnon, I should say, work with their, we're both, you know, love some Ozzy. I mean, men of our age, I think, I guess even the ladies too, but definitely fellows of my age, you gotta, like, you either were severely sheltered or something was going on weird if, you know, you didn't fucking listen to Ozzy at some point. I mean, I was born in 1981. Ozzy was, at that point, already gone from Sabbath. He had been kicked out in 1979. And, of course, the Blizzard of Oz, I want to say, came out... I want to say it came out in 81. I want to say the year I was born. But no, 1980, the year before. But, you know, back then it took a little bit longer for that shit to really hit. yeah, it was released on September 12th of 1980 in the UK and on March 27th, 1981. So, yeah, there we go. I was born. I was born in the U.S., just days, 10 days before the release of The Blizzard of Oz, which was the solo album that just fucking shot fucking Ozzy Osbourne to legend. I mean, he was already a legend, but I mean, that's just super legendary status was, you know, the Ozzy solo stuff, which I got to say, you know, I'm more of a fan of the early Sabbath records. Like, to me, that is always going to be the best of Ozzy. But holy shit, I mean, The Blizzard of Oz and Diary of a Madman, the two albums that he did with Randy Rhoads. I mean, Randy Rhoads was next level kind of shit, you know, the just unheard of at that point. Like, the only, I guess, close person to be anywhere near Randy Rhoads was Eddie Van Halen, which he did some of the stuff. I mean, he did pinch harmonics, the tapping and stuff, which I'm not a big fan of tapping, but Randy was like different, just insane with his stuff. I mean, he only died, he was like 25 when he died. He only did two Ozzy albums, and then I don't think there was very many Quiet Riot albums he did, but I could be, I don't really know. And unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of video of the Randy Rhoads live. But I mean, I've been going back through since Ozzy passed and going back through like all of this shit. Anyway, the day Ozzy died, as I keep digressing, on the drive home, man, I was fine at work. I mean, I got a little sick. I mean, just hearing the news, like Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, I knew that, again, I had seen interviews with him recently, and I'd seen that last concert. I knew, like, this guy, any day now, it's going to be, unfortunately, the end for Ozzy. But, you know, it's a different situation when it actually happens, and even though you're expecting it. And the guy lived a crazy life during the days of his original run with Sabbath. And the fuck, I don't know how many. Yeah, I don't know what year Ozzy got sober, but let's see. That's got to be a top Google search. There we go. When did Ozzy get sober? he had numerous attempts dating back to 1984. But it sounds like, I mean, but yeah, I don't know the exact date on when. Says here on USA Today, Osbourne, whose issue with alcoholism and drug addiction began in the 70s and got him booted from Sabbath in 79, grew serious about his sobriety around 2014 after numerous attempts at rehab and recovery dating back to 1984. In a recent interview, he told The Sun that, this is not fairly, I don't know when this interview was. He told the Sun that he once drank 28 gallons of alcohol to get through the Christmas season. Jesus fucking Christ, man. Fucking Christ, man. That was not a very good Ozzy impersonation. Just saying. Oh, re-round. I thought I'd be drinking to the day I die, Osbourne said in a 2021 interview with Variety. His wife and longtime manager, The Talk, co-host Sharon Osbourne, and son Jack, who at the time had been sober for 17 years, also joined him for the sit-down. I've always been self-medicated. Okay, I'd stop doing the voice. Medicated because I've never liked the way I felt. I've had great success in my life, but I've never felt great about myself, he said in the interview. Anyway, so I guess he didn't really go full on sober till 2014. So he had like 11 years of sobriety of the 76. So he would have been 65. Man, he went at it a long time. But, you know, he started getting, I would imagine, you know, it wasn't as insane as it was. Probably got to the craziest that I'm aware of, like in the 80s. I don't know. The Sabbath days were pretty nuts. But I mean, the solo stuff, like when, after the first couple, like during the first couple albums, that was the him like snorting the ants off of, I guess, popsicle stick. With Motley Crue when they were daring each other to do crazy shit. And, of course, Ozzy's going to win that. It's fucking Ozzy Osbourne. Dude's such a legend. I mean, he fucking bit the head off two pigeons. I believe that was in front of some record execs when he was trying to get a record deal. I don't remember if that predated him biting the head off the bat or was after. But there was, of course, the incident where somebody had thrown a live bat on stage, and he thought it was a fake bat and bit its head off. The dude was there. There's never going to be another Ozzy fucking Osbourne. That's for fucking sure. Man, it's been tough for me. I've been able to watch, when I rode home from work that day, like, I was fighting back some tears because I was cranking Black Sabbath, like, as obnoxiously loud. I'm sure there were people hearing me coming through, rolling through with some more pigs. but, you know, I got home, man. It hit me. I'm like, holy shit. And, you know, I've been alive a long time at this point, for 44 years. There's been several musicians that I was a big fan of that have passed on, and it just didn't really affect me the way that Ozzy had. Like, I don't know, it's just, I guess there's just so many Ozzy songs that just are just in me. I don't know. Maybe it's just the character of the guy. And also, I'm just getting old as shit. I'll start crying because I watched a fucking thing. I remember watching some shit on World War II with Winston Churchill giving a speech about, you know, fighting Hitler. And, I remember crying for that. But to be fair, though, I was on prednisone, the steroid. But hey, you know, they were fighting one of the worst human beings that ever lived at that point. Sure, Churchill did some awful stuff too, especially like in India and what have you. But he was a great speaker and talking about, you know, taking down fucking Adolf Hitler, you know, like fighting Hitler, you know. Go to the beaches. I'm not doing very good impressions right now. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, Ozzy, like, man, seeing now that he's dead, like, it already was tough to watch that last performance because it was clear watching that any moment now could be, you know, he could be taking his last breath. And then after, I mean, it's only 2 weeks after that that, you know, he did die. And now watching that footage of him doing that last concert, and it's just like knowing that, I mean, he knows like, you know, I mean, he's aware that any moment could be his last. And, yeah, it's like, it's just, yeah, it fucked me up, man. It fucked me up. But I've been playing a lot of Sabbath, like on the guitar, and, I don't cry doing that. As I've gone back to playing the SG, of course, and I've got the Tony Iommi strings by LaBella. They put out his own signature strings, which are extremely light gauge strings. I've got the D standard set on my SG right now. I do have the C sharp standard string set, which is a little heavier gauge. I haven't tried those out yet. It's really weird having those light gauge strings. But, man, I tell you what, for... because Tony originally used, like, banjo strings, or I don't remember what string. He used some other strings that weren't guitar strings. Like, he kind of made his own thing because, you know, he got his fingertips chopped off and then had to have some lighter gauge strings to be able to play it properly. And then till eventually he found a string manufacturer that would make strings for him. And then it wasn't till fairly recently, I guess, that he got a signature brand set of strings out there. But fun fact, it has helped me sound like Sabbath more, as getting just the right vibrato on things with the slinky set. Though it's really fucks me up to play with really light gauge strings. I've been doing it for a few weeks now, and I don't know. I don't know if I'll keep those strings on there forever. But man, doing stuff like the intro to Iron Man, where he's playing an octave with the he's playing the D string on the second fret, and then hitting the open low E string. And so that there's the octave with that, but he's also then bending the low E string above the nut. Bend it above the nut, you know what I'm saying? And so you get that like a really angry cat with a lot of bass to its voice. And of course, it is a double-tracked guitar part. There's actually two guitars going at that, and which you can kind of mimic that with the delay pedal. But man, having those really light gauge strings on there makes it so much. It just sounds more right that if you have that really light gauge string on there, But yeah, I've been just like going down the old Ozzy rabbit hole. I haven't gone too crazy with buying shit. I did buy a few things Ozzy related. I did order the first Black Sabbath album on vinyl off of Amazon. Haven't received it yet. I do have Paranoid already on album, on vinyl. sadly, like on CD, I only have the like basically best of Sabbath album, the We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll, which if you know the history of, I didn't know it when I got the damn CD, but that was their old management selling that and cashing in off that. Like Black Sabbath didn't make any profit off that, so I, you know, I should probably, it's a great collection of songs though. And the title of it is kind of a fuck you to them, because I don't think the band had anything to do with the title of that, We Sold Our Souls for Rock and Roll. Meanwhile, they're not getting any money off of that, so ironic title. Their original management was they didn't make much money until pretty far in, from what I understand, as opposed to like how much the record company made off of Black Sabbath. But I got the first Black Sabbath album. that's coming on the way. Off the Ozzy's website, I'm looking at getting the Blizzard of Oz, because I mean, solo Ozzy. I mean, that first record, that one's the one to go. I'll probably get that one on vinyl. It's pretty much all sold out on Amazon. Like, pretty much all Ozzy shit is sold out on Amazon right now, or at least last day when I looked. Which is no surprise. And, you know, there's some price gouging going on. But I'm sure they're going to manufacture more of this stuff. So if you just wait a little while, you can probably pay some reasonable prices. The Ozzy's website seems like it's got reasonable prices on. Fun fact. I did order a Black Sabbath shirt like the day before he died. Day or two before. I want to say it was the day before. I want to say I ordered this fucker on Monday. It was recently. I don't remember how close it was to died, but I want to say it was like the night before. I was like, you know what? I got to get this Black Sabbath shirt. The only other Black Sabbath shirt I have is from that Last Supper era, where I wore that shirt for years, like every weekend, like Friday or Saturday, maybe both. I would wear that fucking shirt. I wore it so much. This guy Joe that I used to hang around, he would give me shit and just call me Black Sabbath all the time because I was always fucking wearing that shirt. Because in the early days of me playing guitar, I had gotten pretty heavy into the early Sabbath stuff. And just a huge fan of Iommi, you know. But going back to that Blizzard of Oz stuff, I mean, that I have gone back down that rabbit hole of Randy Rhoads. Listen to Crazy Train and, you know, Mr. Crowley and all that goodness. I mean, it's just hearing the stories of the plane wreck that happened with Randy. And, you know, I had known all this stuff, but I hadn't heard the actual accounts of it in a long time. And that's, you know, a pretty crazy story. I mean, Randy was a sober guy. He wasn't a partier. He really just loved playing music, was big into classical guitar, and was actually quitting Ozzy's band he had already told him he was going to go back to school and get some kind of degree in like classical music. And he was super excited about that. I mean, the guy was on top of the fucking world at the time. I mean, Blizzard of Oz was fucking on fire, which I guess they'd already put out Diary of a Madman once Randy Rhoads. I don't know what year. Diary. Let's see here. I can find this out. What year? It was 82, I think, when Randy died, I think. This death happened in, it was in Florida, March 8th, the day after my birthday, son of a bitch. The day after my 1 year, I was 1 year old and one day, the day that Randy Rhoads died. I want to say that Diary of Madman came out. Oh, no, it was 81. I was going to say that maybe it came out in 82, but, I mean, he died pretty early on in 82. And, Diary of a Madman came out in December, so it was only a few months after that second album with Ozzy that he ended up dying in that plane wreck. But, like, the only drug that was in Randy's system was nicotine. I believe he smoked a cigarette. No other drugs, though. He was a teetotaler, I guess. Well, I guess you can't call it a teetotaler if you're smoking cigarettes. But yeah, he was in two. He had two albums with Quiet Riot before having then the two albums with Ozzy. But I mean, that's just a crazy story, and the fact that, you know, Randy would even get on that plane, because the guy that was piloting it was the bus driver for the band. And had been up for like 24 hours straight or whatever on coke. And it's pretty crazy that Randy, who was not into drugs and alcohol other than, I guess, cigarettes, was like, fuck you, you know, like, fuck all that. But then I guess he just didn't realize how impaired that the bus driver was. Or had known that he had gotten into an accident with a piling in a helicopter and somebody dying in that, like, beforehand. It's just pretty crazy. And that, you know, it's one of those things you wonder what would have happened had Randy not gotten on that plane. Or I guess if maybe no one had let that fucking bus driver fly that fucking plane that day, that would have been for the better, because several people died on that fucking plane. ICOC, I guess, was the ACOC, AYCOCK, was the driver that had flown the plane. He had been doing some coke. But the bus driver too, like, had his pilot's license wasn't valid anymore because of this, like, wreck he had in a helicopter and shit. Pretty crazy that Randy, and there was a woman that had gotten on the plane too and died, that was not fond of flying, but it's just, you know, crazy thing, like, they decided, oh, I guess they didn't realize how fucked up the dude was on cocaine. And also, he was freaking out because his ex-wife was, or his wife was, like, leaving him or something, and she was out there in this field. I don't know. There's crazy shit. I mean, it was just unfortunate event. I think it's actually the same type of plane. It's a 1955 Beechcraft Bonanza, which model F-35, which I believe was the same type of plane, or at least close to the plane that Buddy Holly died on, the Big Bopper. Pretty crazy shit right there. As I'm leaning back way in my chair, I just got up because it just seems like that might be dangerous for me to do that. As I am pretty fucking tired. But yeah, man, that whole story with Randy Rhoads, and you know, I know that. That shit fucked with Ozzy pretty bad, and he, you know, went harder into the alcohol at that point, really, really amped it up, and they went right back on touring. I guess partly as a, you know, defense mechanism, because I think it was Sharon's call, probably, that I believe, I don't know, you know, I don't have firsthand information on it, but that the show must go on. Maybe Ozzy's solo career would have petered out had he not continued touring after that. I would imagine had he just stopped immediately, though, it would have been pretty difficult to go back on tour if he had time to, like, really register what had happened. And then to go back and then just have that shit just all come rushing back at you. Which I guess he probably had anyway. I don't know. Trauma's a weird thing. But, I mean, it seemed to, in interviews, whenever he would talk about Randy, like, any time after that, I mean, you could tell. I mean, it fucked with him. There was a show that Ozzy had done with his son Jack. For the History Channel, like Ozzy and Jack's Detour, I think is the name of it. I've only seen, like, clips of the show. But there's one episode where they had gone to a recording studio and pulled out the original tapes of Crazy Train. And you get to hear the original recording of Randy before it got mastered, before they, you know, added everything to it. And you just hear Randy and just straight, you know, unfiltered Randy. And you can tell just, you know, it's like a powerful thing to him. It's been a weird week, you know. So I've been like going down that rabbit hole, and also, you know, trying to paint and working a fuck ton of hours, getting very little sleep. I don't know where I'm going with any of this. I did, but there was a couple other purchases I had as far as, you know, the Ozzy is concerned. I haven't gotten that Blizzard of Oz yet. I'm probably going to do that with the next couple of days, order that before they sell out on Ozzy's website as well. But I did order a Black Sabbath guitar strap to put on my SG because, you know, kind of need it. Kind of need it. I ordered that off Etsy. Etsy's got plenty of, you know, great Ozzy and Black Sabbath memorabilia. Etsy's a dangerous thing for me, you know? You get so many unique things that people have created as far as, you know, bands or what have you. There's a cool Alex Gray, the guy that has done a lot of the artwork for Tool, that did the like the eye on Lateralis, and all the art. I want to say the first album that he was involved with was Lateralis. I don't think Enema that he did any of the art on there. I'm pretty sure it was Lateralis on that he did the artwork for, but like the Net of Being, you know, I have that behind me right there. With it's a metal on, printed on metal, and Alex Gray did sign it. But there's a cool, like, eye, the Alex Gray, like, eye deal, like the mind's eye, whatever. I forgot the actual name of it. There's a pretty cool metal one that somebody made, and I can get it for $150 on Etsy. And, man, it's been tough for me to not buy that. It's been real tough. I feel like I got to sign in just to see. Yeah, here it is. This is the, holy fucking shit. That's a pretty awesome fucking thing. I mean, it is gorgeous. And I should probably not be looking at this because I'm fucking bound to fucking buy it. That's just, the Eye of Horus, I guess is, at least what they're calling it here. I don't know that that's necessarily what, Alex Gray calls it, but I do have a tattoo of it on my chest. You'd think I would know what it was called. I just know it's the fucking artwork on Lateralis. There's that is tattooed on my chest, and it's just fucking cool, man. It's like the eye that's like on fire, but like an aura like type fire, you know. It's funny, I like have that tattooed on me, and yet and also like you know, I'm a big Tool fan. I got the, you know, the Adam Jones guitar and whatnot, but I'm not like that hardcore of a Tool fan. Like, I don't see them as deities. I just see them as normal human beings, and don't exactly worship their music. What I'm trying to do is like tell myself I'm not one of the annoying fans. I'm not one of the ones that Maynard would just tell to shut the fuck up to. I'm hoping. I don't know. I've never met Maynard. Been to many of his shows. And so Santa was pretty fun. And man, Les Claypool fucking killed it at that show. Fucking, I mean, it's Les Claypool and fucking Primus. Of course. I mean, they're going to kill it. God damn, this fucking thing looks amazing. I really need to stop looking at this shit. Oh man, people make so many cool fucking things though. And just seeing this stuff, man, it is just the stuff you can get on Etsy, man. It's just so unique stuff. There's this Ozzy Osbourne light on here. That's like a It's a LED, or is it, that's not neon, is it? I don't think it's neon. It says a lot. Oh, I guess it's 3D printed, looks like. And then, yeah, it's not a, I guess it has LEDs. You can do stuff, but it's got, it's pretty sweet looking. I'm sure they got all kinds of shit like that. Holy shit, man. There's just, I need to take this off the browser because I'll end up buying this shit. And it's more shit I don't need to buy, but man, it would look great on my wall, you know. And Hulk Hogan, I guess, died this week, which I didn't even know if I would really mention that on this show. I grew up a WWF kid. I mean, I was a child when I would say the golden age of wrestling, of wrestling was. I got to witness Hulk Hogan, you know, body slam Andre the Giant as a kid. And, you know, him taking on the Ultimate Warrior, which I was not, you know, I rooted for Hogan. I mean, it was just kind of like what you did. He was the number one wrestler on WWF when I was a kid. But, you know, I was more of it was an Ultimate Warrior guy. It was the Ultimate Warrior. And just like his psychotic, just the rants and shit he would do. And I mean, I love me some Macho Man. And point being, I was going to say, I wasn't really upset to hear that Hulk Hogan died. I politically differ from Hulk Hogan quite a bit. I mean, he was at one of Trump's rallies, or I guess the fucking RNC. He went to the Republican National Convention and tore his shirt off. Hogan is like one of the last ones alive, really, from that era that I don't watch wrestling anymore. But as a kid, I fucking loved that shit. Up until I was about probably 18 or so. I didn't love it as much as I once did. And I was pretty much out of it for a while until really like Hogan and Macho and Kevin Nash and stuff went to WCW. Because that was just, mainly I just loved the video games. They had the Nintendo 64 had like the most awesomest wrestling video games. Which, man, I could probably still throw down some fucking wrestling games. That shit was fun. I mean, I still have that shit on the 64. If I could upgrade my 64 to where I could hook it up to my projector or something, I could really throw down on some wrestling. That shit was fun. I'm sure I'd still enjoy that. The NWO when the Hulkster turned heel, I mean, it was pretty great. And I, you know, had he died around that time, Hulk Hogan, that is, I probably would have felt bad. I would have felt bad, but like I know so much about Hulk Hogan now. One, he's a bigot. It's not really like, woo, you know, I'm gonna tend to not get upset about people. He said some very, and he's apparently pretty racist. I've heard some, you know, him say some shit that would really suggest that. Oh yeah, he's pretty racist. And but also Hulk Hogan, like I've gone back and watched a lot of interviews with wrestlers of that era. There's still a few left. And some of those interviews are a bit old. I mean, Ultimate Warrior has been gone for, you know, several years now. Macho Man, who put out a fucking diss track, which I've been meaning to pull that back up and listen to it. I haven't heard it since like it came out, but Macho Man's been gone for a long time. But he put out like a rap album and I had a fucking I gotta go back and hear that. But Hulk Hogan, he fucked over all of those wrestlers, man. He fucked over all of those guys that were WWF back then. And, you know, we've come to find out, which I guess even, you know, back in the day I was aware that Vince McMahon was a pretty shitty human being. But it's, you know, more and more is coming to light these days, and he is just a disgusting, disgusting human being. And not, you know, if you listen to Jesse Ventura, which he's, you know, a bit out there. He's into all kinds of conspiracies. He's really funny to listen to if you're not going down all of his conspiracy holes. But he tried to unionize wrestling, which from what I understand, I believe it's still this way today. I would imagine now that Vince McMahon's out of the way, I think they're maybe making some headways into improving things for the wrestlers, because you know, there's a lot more wrestlers that are, people that are involved in professional wrestling other than the main tickets, the main events. You know, there's a lot of wrestlers that you don't know their fucking names, and unless you're like hugely into wrestling and following all the local, you know, wrestling, there's so many people that are involved that do wrestling, and you know, they're called jobbers, the or jabronis. You know, they make like no fucking money doing it, and wrestle every fucking day for years, because, you know, that is what they love. That's what they want to do. They want to be a professional wrestler. And, you know, it's much like musicians, I guess. You know, most musicians don't really make any fucking money doing it. It's only the select few that make a fuck ton. Much is the same with wrestling. Unfortunately, though, with wrestling, it really destroys your body. Now, sure, years of, I guess, touring and stuff, playing musician is probably going to have a wear on your body. Especially if you're, you know, like doing drums and doing like some real heavy metal, doing some blast beats and whatnot. Imagine it has its toll, but, you know, life in general just has its toll if you live long enough. Professional wrestling, though, I mean, it is a really physical thing, even though you know pretty much how the outcome's going to, you know, what the outcome's going to be of the match before you do it, you know, even if it's choreographed and whatnot. It's still extremely physical job, and these guys just get hurt. And, you know, again, like Vince McMahon was didn't give any of those fuckers health care. And Jesse Ventura, I think, was the one really spearheading during the time of like the WWF when Hulkster was like the face of pro wrestling. Ventura was trying to unionize, and he wanted to get, you know, health insurance for these guys. You know, I'm sure Jesse Ventura, I mean, he was a bigger known name, and at that point, I don't remember if he was still wrestling at that point or if he'd be gone to announcing, but still, you know, he had done some movies and whatnot, and was in a lot better shape than a lot of those other guys. but, you know, he was spearheading that charge to get it unionized. Because the way that wrestling is set up, they're not considered, you know, you're not getting like a W-2, you know. You're not a normal employee. You're considered an independent contractor, so they don't have to pay you health insurance and whatnot. Again, I don't know if that's the way it is now. I'm hoping, you know, now that they've got The Rock involved and stuff, that, you know, hopefully they're a little bit better. But honestly, I don't follow this shit that much. But, you know, Hulk Hogan, Terry Bollea, was, again, the face of wrestling. And he was being being compensated way more than any other wrestler. He was the top of the food chain as far as who was getting paid. And he didn't want that to change. He wanted, you know, because unions often do, is they want things to be an even playing field. And that, you know, everybody's going to get a slice of the pie. Well, I guess, you know, when you're getting the mass majority of the pie and you're used to living that that lifestyle, you don't want to change that. So, I mean, he got with Vince McMahon and said, you know, gave him the whole deal, who was involved with the union, and had it shot down. And for that, that was one of the big reasons. I know that's why Jesse Ventura fucking hated his guts. But as I'm thinking about Jesse Ventura talking about Hulk Hogan, I can't really do a Ventura accent. I ain't got time to bleed. That didn't sound anything like him. Fuck. Anyway. Minnesota. Anyway. So, yeah, I mean, Hulkster was not a great guy. And he lied constantly. As, you know, I'm pretty much shitting all over the guy right now. But, you know, I did love, as a child, you know, before I knew any better, I fucking watched No Holds Barred. You're goddamn right I did. And apparently, like, I think Vince McMahon and maybe even Hulk Hogan were involved with writing the screenplay for that, which the story of it's pretty ridiculous. But I think they just did a bunch of coke and then, like, here we go. This is what we're doing. But yeah, Tiny Lister plays Zeus, which was pretty epic. Anyway, Hulkster was, you know, he lied about a lot of shit, like ridiculous shit. Like, and why would you're Hulk Hogan? You had to have like crazy stories. Your life was insane. You were fucking Hulk Hogan. I mean, you were in Rocky III, man. Rocky fucking III. He was a huge star, even outside of, you know, wrestling. I mean, he had done a few movies, and Rocky III was the biggest movie he did. Most of his movies were just dog shit, we're being honest. Yeah, he would lie about all kinds of shit, and it's crazy, because, like, if he would just tell the truth, I'm sure there's, you know, because I've heard all kinds of stories from the wrestlers of that era. They all lived a pretty crazy fucking lifestyle. You didn't have to be a piece of shit and lie about it. One of my favorite lies, though, of Hulk Hogan's is that when Cliff Burton died, the bassist for Metallica, their original bassist, he claimed that Metallica wanted him to play bass, which Hulk Hogan did play bass. From my understanding, he was like a session musician. Was you know, a serious bass player before becoming fucking Hulk Hogan, basically, and had some chops, but I don't think he was like Cliff Burton good or anything of that nature. And Metallica, I'm pretty sure every member is just basically laughed at the idea that they ever wanted Hulk Hogan on bass. Which, that was just kind of one of the funny lies. But the dude lied about everything. Everything. And, yeah, I can't say that I'm really saddened about that. But, you know, I did love that fucking era of wrestling. I mean, watching Brutus the Barber Beefcake and fucking Andre the Giant. Although I kind of caught the tail end of the Andre the Giant. I was still fairly young when he passed away. I mean, I love the Princess Bride. And he, by the time I started watching it, they had him as a heel, Andre the Giant. But, I mean, I love hearing stories about Andre the Giant. There's some pretty crazy fucking stories about that guy. But man, that whole era, and one of the best stories out there about that era is definitely Jake the Snake Roberts, having the cobra or whatever kind of snake it was bite Macho Man. And just search that, Jake the Snake Roberts or Macho Man gets bit by a snake, which just watching that match is pretty insane. Like, there was the match that, of course, Jake the Snake Roberts, I want to say it was a cobra, he brought it out, and it was, he had, according to Jake, had, you know, a snake handler that was a pretty sketchy dude that took the venom out of the snake, but on live TV, had it by Macho Man in the ring. And, I'm pretty sure I saw that when it happened, like on TV as a kid. And going back and watching that on YouTube is fucking hilarious. Knowing that, like, that's a real snake. They got bit in the ring. And you can see all these small children, like, just being traumatized in the audience that, you know, their fucking, their hero Macho Man is getting bit by a fucking poisonous snake. Just the look of terror. This is just like, man. Like the 80s was like nonstop that kind of shit, you know, like the entertainment we had and stuff like that. It was, it wasn't as controlled as it is today. It's like watching that is just so funny to me. If you can find, there's, I believe, several podcasts that Jake the Snake has gone on to and told the story behind that and the Macho Man beforehand. Made Jake the Snake get the snake out and have it bite Jake to prove that it wasn't poisonous, it wasn't going to kill Macho Man. Which I gotta say, I'd be pretty nervous about letting a fucking poisonous snake bite me. I'm gonna opt out of that. I'm gonna be like, no. Well, of course, I don't know. What's the payday? How much? I don't know how much Randy Savage got paid for that. It was probably, I think it was like a normal broadcast. I don't think it was like a pay-per-view event, but I don't think hopefully they paid him a little bit better that night. I mean, he wasn't making Hulk Hogan numbers, but I'd want some kind of hazard pay. But apparently Macho was very paranoid that Jake the Snake wanted to kill Macho. And he's like, you want the Intercontinental belt of Macho? Oh, yeah. Like, how do I know this snake ain't gonna kill me, man? So, like, you gotta let that thing bite you. And apparently, Jake the Snake Roberts let the snake bite him in the thigh to where you couldn't see it, like, where his pants were gonna cover it, before going out of the ring. And he was, you know, the way it's pretty funny hearing Jake the Snake tell the story. And he's talking about, you know, Macho had the luxury of getting his adrenaline pumped after going out there, the crowds getting you riled up. And you won't feel it quite as bad, but he was backstage, no adrenaline, whatever, and just letting the snake fucking bite him. But because of that, because Macho, like, forced him to let the snake bite him in the back, that once in the ring and got up for it, Jake the Snake really got that snake riled up because he wanted to bite the shit out of Randy Savage. Dude, that was just a different era. Fucking Rowdy Piper and just, holy fuck, man. Just that, those guys, I just love hearing the behind, it is pretty great nowadays hearing the behind the scenes stuff there. But, you know, I'm not too sad about the Hulkster. The Ultimate Warrior, again, that was my guy. He was kind of fucking out there too. He was pretty fucking out there. I don't know, that was like upset so much like when he passed away, but he was a little fucking out there. And I was, you know, I was well into adulthood. This was, I didn't continue my love affair with Ultimate Warrior as an adult. That, and I guess at that point I was so used to wrestlers just fucking dying. And especially now, I mean, there's like 71 is how old Hulk Hogan was. And that is like fucking ancient for a wrestler, man. Like that's just, that's above the normal. That's like 150 for an average human being, you know? Those guys, especially of that era, they're not making it to 71. Ric Flair's still going. That dude is a partier. I think still to this day, he is like Ozzy level partier. Although I don't think Ric Flair has ever snorted ants off a popsicle stick. Could be wrong. Maybe he has. He definitely didn't make music that's a part of my soul like Ozzy. I guess I'm good here. I feel like I could just keep talking about this shit all night. I do have stuff to do. I do need to finish, hopefully I can just do one more coat of paint on that one wall and be done with that part of it. I do need to get some fucking sleep tonight. So I guess I'm good here. You know what? Go listen to some fucking Ozzy and some Sabbath. So Ozzy Sabbath, the real shit. Don't go with, you know. You could dabble in Dio some other time. Right now, now's the time to honor the Prince of Darkness. And put on some Paranoids, Masters of Reality, or Volume 4, you know? The original Black Sabbath, the self-titled album. Listen to the song Black Sabbath by the band Black Sabbath on the album Black Sabbath. Or just put on Blizzard of Oz, man. Crank some Mr. Crowley or fucking Crazy Train. I mean, going back to... I could talk about Ozzy all night, but holy fuck. I mean, is there a song that encapsulates like Ozzy better than fucking Crazy Train? I mean, that shit, I was, of course, that came out in the States just like 10 days after I was fucking born. That may be part of the reason why it's so ingrained in my whole DNA, why it's such a part of me. But, cause it was probably on the fucking radio in the hospital. Well, no, I guess, I mean, if it didn't, I was out in less than, hopefully in less than 10 days. I don't think I was in the hospital that long, but... But I would imagine it was probably on the radio at home soon after I was born. And it seeped into every portion of my body. But I mean, that song Crazy Train is just, that is a fucking biography on fucking Ozzy Osbourne if there ever was. Fuck yeah. Rest in peace, Ozzy. As always, that is a kid in a wheelchair, not a trash can.